The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You're listening to BGN Radio with Brandon Lee Gowton and Jimmy Kemsky.
What's going on, everybody? I'm Jimmy Kemsky from PhillyVoice.com. With me, as always, is Brandon Lee Gowton from BleedingGreenNation.com. Brandon, we're here on Saturday late afternoon, early evening, after the Eagles cut down to 53 players. So no more 53-player projections from you or me. We have the 53. How you doing, buddy?
Jimmy, doing all right. Obviously, we'll keep this episode relatively, breeze through because, you know, some of these things are going to change by Sunday evening and the practice squad and cuts. You know, this is the initial 53. You know, there's still a lot to be sorted out, but we'll give you our instant take on it here. Before we get to it, Jimmy, I want to mention that I'm on a new podcast. You might not know this.
I did not know this.
The SB Nation NFL show is launching. It's a weekly. There's like episodes each weekday during the NFL season here. Michael Kist is going to be on episodes on Mondays and Wednesdays doing some things. I'm going to be on Tuesdays. Podcast is called The Off Day Debrief, a.k.a. The Oddcast. Little pun for you there. I'm teaming up with Rob Guerrera, who you might be familiar with, Jimmy, an audience listener. Goes by Stats. He was on the Mike and Mike show for a while, and then he worked with Mike Florio on Pro Football Talk.
Okay.
So excited to do that with him. Should be fun. And obviously also BGN Radio brought to you by Righteous Felon Craft Jerky. Go get the same meat snacks that the Eagles do by going to RighteousFelon.com and using discount code BGN15 at checkout for 15% off. That's BGN15 at RighteousFelon.com. Meat snacks and non-meat snacks. Check it all out. Jimmy, let's get it started.
Yeah, position by position, I guess.
Yeah. Quarterback, don't even need to say anything.
Yeah. Well, the one thing I will say, I recalibrated who I think will be inactive again. Week one after they went, after, you know, we have the 53-man roster in front of us. So it'll be, actually it won't be, it'll be, so like my question to Howie was, can you tell us who's going to be on IR? And then I rattled off a couple names. And he said, well, one of those guys is going to be on it. And two of the names that I said were Rager and Parks. Mm-hmm. So I would guess it would be Parks.
Probably Parks.
Will be on IR. So I guess I wouldn't include him in the inactives. But I would have... That's assuming Rager isn't on IR. I would have him, Alshon, Quez Watkins, Casey Tuhill, and then you can probably find somebody else pretty easily. Again, like you said, the roster is going to change a lot. But my guess is that Jalen Hurts is probably going to be active week one. It's certainly not a definite. He could be inactive, but I think he's going to be up week one, if for no other reason than to just have him kind of lingering there.
Running back, the Eagles only kept three. Miles Sanders, Boston Scott, Corey Clement. They'll probably bring back either Elijah Holyfield and or Adrian Killens on the practice squad, I would think.
I would agree with that. First time they've kept fewer than four in the Doug, Howie, Jim Schwartz era.
Yeah. And I guess it's possible they could add a fourth if someone becomes available they like, but they're not going to add like Adrian Peterson. I don't see it.
I don't see it either. Yeah, I do actually think they're going to add another running back for week one. I think running back's going to be added, and somewhere else, a guy's going to be taken off.
I look at that as like you could put Holyfield, and you could do that thing, you know, now where you can just bump a guy up, like the new, you know, the elevate two guys from the practice squad. But yeah.
Now here's the biggie, wide receiver. Actually, that's not the biggie. Corner's the biggie, but wide receiver, a big surprise anyway. I don't know if any of the Eagles beat writers had Alshon Jeffrey.
Tim McManus did.
Oh, did he? Okay. Oh, that's right. You're right. He did. coming off of PUP and just flat out making the 53-man roster. So you have Deshaun, Rager, JJ, Ward, Hightower, Watkins, and Alshon. So Alshon begins the season, not on PUP. And in our interview session with Howie was asked, well, I guess that means you think he's going to be ready before the time on PUP were to expire. And Howie said, yes, that both the team and Alshon himself believe that he will be ready before week 7, which is when he would be eligible to come off of PUP.
At the same time, Jimmy, Jeff McClain is reporting that the Eagles are still trying to trade Alshon Jeffrey. You know, my thought here is, well, this makes him more marketable, right? Putting him on the roster, like, hey, he's healthy, right? Like, kind of signal the team. It's like, he's fine. He's going to be ready to play soon. Go get him.
They've been trying to trade him for like a year now. So, like, they haven't had any luck there. I think that their luck is going to continue to be dry in trying to trade Alshon. I wonder when he will come back. And it opens up a debate on whether they should. So, like, if the receivers are playing well, and we've already mentioned this on the podcast, but if they're playing well, do you mess with it? Like, do you shoehorn him back into the lineup and into a prominent role in the offense? That's probably a discussion for down the line. Certainly, if they're not playing well and they can use the help, then, yeah, you get him right back in there if he's healthy. But, yeah, surprise to me for sure that, I mean, a huge surprise to me that he didn't just stay on PUP, because he looked nowhere near ready to play during training camp, because he didn't do anything on, like, when the team's practicing. Just for the listeners, like, when a guy's on PUP, they're usually off on a side field running, working out, doing that kind of stuff. But he wasn't doing none of that. Like, he'd throw a ball up to himself a little bit. He might have a catch with somebody a little bit here and there, but he wasn't running. He wasn't doing anything like that. Maybe he was doing it at other times, but he wasn't doing it during practice, which is when guys would normally do that. Like Jalen Mills, for example, was off running on a side field for almost the entirety of training camp last year. He stayed on PUP, didn't come back until week 7. I wonder if maybe Mills was ready to play before his time on PUP was over, and they don't want to make that same mistake again. But I don't know. Again, big surprise to me that he didn't just stay on PUP, and they're using a roster spot on him with him sort of being out of the lineup for now, for the foreseeable future.
Derek Gunn said that Jeffrey, quote, isn't expected to be ready until October at the earliest. So that's what okay. Deion is saying. That was earlier, or that was like last week, last Sunday. So
just for my travel planning, I know that week 4 is in San Francisco. That is the first week of October. So there's only 3 games in September.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he's back week 4, for example, and you really want him to play, then yeah, it makes sense to roster him as opposed to keeping him on PUP. But you know, we'll see. Hey, we'll see when he comes back, and if he's even necessary to come back, depending on how well the wide receivers are playing.
And I wonder what that says about the Rager injury, if anything. Just a quick thought. Maybe it doesn't, but just wondering, you know, if they want that insurance, you know, just like to have another guy around in case
they,
that's
worse. They
don't
know if JJ is going to be good. Like, they thought, like, I mean, you and I both think he had a good camp, but let's see it in a real game before we believe it.
Tight end, only 2. Like, so I was right on that. I was right about that.
Yeah,
I just didn't think Tongi Yai was anything that you had to keep. And although it's possible the Eagles could add him back, you know, on the roster if he clears waivers and they open up a roster spot, but I don't think they will. I think they're just going to go the practice squad route, where if they need that third guy, they'll just bump him up, you know, using that new system. It's Ertz and it's Goddard. And yeah, I just think people got too, like, into this idea, like, they have to keep 3 because they run 12 personnel. Like, I get that. Like, that makes sense to me when you say it, but the way they've acted, they don't really feel that way.
You know, it's funny that they're probably going to run more 2 tight end sets than any other team in the NFL. And they're going to have fewer tight ends on their roster, at least tied for that, than any other team in the NFL.
That's true.
You know?
Makes sense. Right.
Offensive line. They went a little light there, but there's probably a 9th guy on the way. Offensive line, they kept JP, of course. Samalo Kelce, Pryor, Lane Johnson, Nate Herbig, Jack Driscoll, Jordan Mailata. I think we both had, both erroneously had Prince Tega Nwonogo making the final.
Yes.
Did you have a 10th guy too, or did you just have 9?
No.
So you had
just
9. Okay. So we were both surprised by that. Mildly surprised, I guess. And then, of course, the Eagles brought in Cordy Glenn for a workout. Howie actually just explained to us a bit ago that he hasn't physically worked out for them yet. It's a 3-day process. First 2 days is for COVID testing. He'll work out the third day. And yeah, it sounds like they're probably going to sign him long as like that workout doesn't go horribly. And I actually just did I wouldn't say a film breakdown of him because I didn't include any video or anything like that. But I did watch all of his snaps.
A film analysis.
From 2019. And there weren't a ton of them. So he only started 5 games. And he only played the entirety of the game in 4 of them. So I was able to get through that, you know, relatively quickly. He's a big guy. Like, he's huge. He's, you know, 345 pounds. He's got super long arms. You're not going to push him back into the pocket. Like, he's sort of a brick wall in that regard. As you might imagine, for a guy that's almost 350 pounds, he's not the, you know, not the niftiest offensive lineman in terms of, you know, quickness and foot speed. So I think he showed in the snaps that I watched that he is a little bit vulnerable to speed around the edge. You'd think that like a guy like that would be really good against the run, or at least be able to kind of move guys off the line of scrimmage in the run game. He doesn't do that. So really, like, his appeal to the Eagles would just be that he's this big guy. You're not going to push him back into the pocket. He's maybe a little susceptible to the speed rush, but if you're Doug Peterson, if you know how he's going to get beat or how he's likely to get beat, you can game plan for that kind of guy a little bit better. So I think he's a guy that you can sort of get by with, and I think that's really all they need, because they're not going to get by with a guy like Matt Pryor, and they're not going to get by with a guy like Jordan Mailata, in my opinion.
You know, hearing from Howie Roseman, it sounds to me like really the plan still is to have Jason Peters at right guard. In that case, I think, you know, Cordy Glenn would be your starting left tackle. And I don't love that. You know, I think it should be Peters at left tackle, Pryor at right guard. And I do like Cordy Glenn as a swing tackle. That makes all the sense in the world to me. That'd be I think that's a really good signing, because you don't have that proven depth right now behind Jason Peters if he's playing left tackle and he does get hurt. You can't just have Mailata or Pryor or Driscoll step up there, like be the first man up there. So, and I do think they will sign Glenn. Yeah. The other thing with these visits, it's important to note that, like, I think the NFL has kind of changed like the procedure on them in terms of, like, you have to actually want to sign that guy. Like, you can't just bring in people for casual interest anymore.
Yeah.
You can't just oh, I'm just working them out, kicking the tires. Like, you can't do that. You have to like have actual interest. You don't have to definitely sign him, but you have to be like, you know, seriously interested in them. And I think they are. And I think they will sign Glenn at some point here. Again, assuming like the workout isn't like a disaster.
The thing I'll add about Glenn real quick is he's good enough where he shouldn't be available in September. Like, he should be on somebody's roster. And I believe the reason that he probably wasn't was because last year, like, he had issues in Cincinnati. Like, he almost got into like a physical altercation with another coach. Like, he got suspended for a game. He got fined, I think, $200,000. For those kinds of incidents. Like, he was missing or was late or whatever to practices and stuff like that. So it kind of ended badly for him in Cincinnati last year. They cut him in March. That was kind of an obvious move for them anyway, because they saved $9.5 million on the cap. And that's a team that obviously wants to get younger with how bad they are. They were 2-14 a year ago. So I think all that contributed to him still being available in September. So the Eagles, in a way, are kind of lucky that he was still there, if they do in fact sign him. Of course, there is that risk, you know, that he can be a problem in Philadelphia too. But I think, yeah, obviously, with the way that their offensive line is looking heading into this season and the concern that it is, you take that risk at this point.
They also have some connections to Glenn in that, Jim Schwartz is a defensive coordinator, with the Bills when Glenn was there, so they know him from there. Jeremiah Washburn is friends, I believe, with Doug Marrone, Mike Kay, former BGN Radio co-host and Bleeding Green Nation contributor Mike Kay, pointed out that Washburn and Doug Marrone, I think, were like friends growing up. So there's a connection there. And important to note that, Press Taylor is the brother of Bengals head coach Zach Taylor. So, you know, kind of get some insight from there. So, you know, they have the cohabitation matrix all set up on that. Or at least you would think, with those connections. Yeah. So, but again, I just don't love it though, if he's the starting left tackle. Like, they have to pay Jason Peters, and it doesn't seem like they are. And that is crazy to me. Anything else on the offensive line, Jimmy?
I have nothing else on the offensive line. Should we go to break here?
Well, do you have anything on Kristen Roach from Roach Rivers?
Well, you just blew my trivia question. I was going to ask you who all the lords and queens and earls and dukes of the land voted best realtor in the history of the universe.
Hmm.
It was Kristen Roach, as you mentioned, of Roach Realtors. So if you're looking to buy or sell your home, call or text Kristen at 856-906-9295. Again, 856-906-9295. Brandon?
Back after this.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Back here on BGN Radio, episode 145, breaking down the Eagles' initial 53-man roster. Again, there will be changes here. We'll have those covered on Bleeding Green Nation and Jimmy's at Philly Voice, and obviously here on BGN Radio. So, you know, stay tuned, all that good stuff. We have practice squads being able to be formed as soon as 1 p.m. on Sunday, September 6th. Also, the waiver wire results will come out after noon on the same day, Sunday, September 6th, which is probably when you are potentially listening to this. Jimmy, before we get into the defense here, I just want to say, you know, like, again, football season's coming up here. You're going to need some snacks on Sunday to get you through the game. And why not? You know, get some Rice Just Fallon Craft Jerky, the meat snacks that fuel your Philadelphia Eagles, the fans listening to this. That's right. Rice Just Fallon Jerky and snack sticks are served at the NovaCare Complex Fueling Station, where players get their pre and post workout protein fix. If it's good enough for the Eagles, it's got to be good enough for you as well. So, you know, it's a no-brainer to me. And look, you know, I was never the biggest beef jerky guy. I tried Righteous Felon. I'm like, hey, this is actually pretty good. And I think anyone who I've given that to has said the same thing. Like, they're like, oh, this is really good. And again, if you don't eat meat, like, I get it. Like, but go to their site at righteousfelon.com. They have non-meat snacks, too. You can check those out. And you can use code. And they also have gear and stuff, too. So, you know, like, the options are endless. And you can use discount code BGN15 at checkout to get 15% off. So, go do that.
I love meat snacks, buddy.
Defense, Jimmy. Defensive end.
Yes. They keep six. I know one of them is going to make you very mad.
Oh, boy.
But you have Brandon Graham, Derek Barnett, Josh Sweat, Vinny Curry. We all knew that those four were going to make the team all along. And then, of course, you have Casey Tuhill, who cracks the roster as the team's final pick in the seventh round. Howie even said, actually, that he was facing sort of an uphill battle to make the roster. And I thought he showed a little something in camp, had him on about halfway through camp, had him on my final 53 projection. And then finally, the sixth defensive end, Jannard Avery.
What
makes
joke.
The team.
What is that? That's so pathetic. He did nothing. He did nothing to deserve nothing. He didn't do a single thing other than be the guy that Howie Roseman traded a fourth round pick for the deadline last year inadvisably. Like, they better be putting him in IR. Like, that better be the plan why they kept him on the roster. Even that is stupid, though. Like Joe Osman deserved to make this team. Not only just because of what he did this summer, but last year as well. And you know he's going to help you out on special teams. Like, I just don't. And how do you feel if you're Joe Osman? And you worked your butt
off
this summer?
He's like when you're watching Rudy and Rudy keeps checking the list to see if he's like active on game day. And he's got his finger going down the list. And he can, like, all, you know, all the other Notre Dame players, they're all, they like pat him on the back. Like, like, maybe next time, buddy. It's like Joe Osman right now. He's like looking down the list for his name. He's like, oh, not again.
He deserves it, though.
I thought he deserved the roster spot. Surely over Jannard Avery. Like, yeah. I don't have a problem with him not making the team over somebody else, maybe elsewhere on the roster. Like, just if they felt that they couldn't keep, you know, six defensive ends or something like that. Because I would have had Tuhill over Osman, too. So, like, if they just felt like they couldn't fit him in for whatever reason. But to lose out to Avery, there's just really no justification for it. Because they're both similar players, too. So it's not even like they're two different, like, body types or they have two different skill sets. Like, they're going to be used, or in theory, they would be used similarly, and that they're both sort of undersized guys. They both have really good athleticism. They both were maybe going to line up in sort of that Joker role. You got to move them around a little bit to kind of get them matchups and stuff like that. So, like, you know, to choose Avery over Osman is, as you said, surely only because the Eagles used they traded a fourth-round pick for him at the deadline last year.
Osman's also younger than him, only by a couple months, but still.
I didn't realize that. That's funny.
Yeah, like,
oh, that's, yeah, that's about right, yeah. What year was Avery? 2018?
I guess.
In the draft?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
So Osman would have been the same, right?
Yeah, he was undrafted rookie free agent in the same year. Yeah, I just, Avery, and I said on the podcast, and I said it in my notes, I don't know if people, you know, will remember this, but, like, this is a guy who I saw getting stoned in one-on-ones by, like, Julian Good-Jones.
Yeah.
Like, who Jeff Stoutland couldn't even remember his name, and, like, received one of the smallest undrafted rookie free agent signing bonuses on the team, and was, like, really just a camp body.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is the same guy who, like, Jordan Mailata had no problem with him, you know, was getting wrecked regularly by Joe Osman, but, like, Avery, you know, light work. So I really just don't get it. We can move on.
Right. All right, defensive tackle. They went light here.
Chalk.
Cox, Hargrave, Jackson, Ridgeway. It was really a rare place that they went chalk, in my opinion, on the roster. Their quarterback, and that's it. Like, and
I would say tight end. But yeah,
I would not say tight end. I think people had a third tight end than not.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that for sure, but I think there was Team Tongi out there. Anyway, you're right, chalk. Maybe Raekwon Williams could have made the team, or maybe they could have saw, like, Anthony Rush as a guy who gives them a different element in that he's huge and can be a run stuffer. But they don't. They just go with those four guys. Which is, do you read into that at all in thinking that, you know, maybe Hargrave is going to be good to go for week one? Or is that a stretch?
I mean, I never really thought they were going to keep five, so I wouldn't really make too much out of it. But, I mean, if they kept a fifth, that certainly wouldn't be a good sign, you know, that
for his availability. Right.
And I think it's, you know, they're probably going to get Williams on the practice squad. I wonder if Rush might get picked up somewhere just because, you know, he has game film. And he obviously, you know, the Raiders picked him up. Like, what, maybe the Raiders want him back. You know, the Eagles signed him away from their practice squad last year. Like, he might have options. But, yeah, four there. And obviously, I think, you know, keeping six at defensive end kind of goes with that. Like, that makes sense.
Yes, yeah. 10 total is fine for a defensive line. And you have, you know, Vinny Curry you can slide inside, too. So
yep.
And Brandon Graham. Linebacker. So they keep Nate Gary, of course. Duke Riley, TJ Edwards were all locks. Sean Bradley and Davion Taylor were pretty much locks as rookies, and as rookie draft picks, that is. And the sixth guy, little bit of a surprise. Not totally, but a little surprise. Alex Singleton makes the roster. So every linebacker made the roster. They didn't make any cuts at linebacker. All six that finished out camp made the team. So I think Singleton really only survives here because the Eagles don't feel good about Bradley and Taylor actually playing in the regular defense at any point. So if you have Riley or Edwards go down, then Singleton is now he's in the game. I think Singleton is, while he was like on the bubble to make the team, I think he's now the fourth linebacker ahead of Bradley and Taylor.
Yeah, I also have that written that out on Bleeding Green Nation. I did a depth chart and I have him. I bumped him up to the fourth guy, even though I thought, you know, he was like the sixth one at that position.
Yeah,
I agree with you. And just, you know, look at what Jim Schwartz said about how he feels like linebacker is one of the harder positions for rookies to play. And I thought they could have gotten Singleton to the practice squad without really any issues. So I don't really love it from that sense. And I felt like you could call him up, you know, if you really needed to. You could get by with like Bradley in a game if you had to, and you can call up, you know, Singleton, but whatever. I mean, it's not the end of the world. It's fine.
Now the biggie, cornerback. They keep Slay, Maddox, Roby Coleman, Graveon LeBlanc, and you abandoned your boy.
My guy,
your final never abandoned projection. You left poor Craig James. You had a Craig James all along. You abandoned him at the final hour. I didn't have him all along, and then I had him on my final projection. He makes the team. Attaboy, Craig James.
And
so he's on
contract extension.
Yes, right. He's now under contract through 2021. They did a similar thing last year with Craveon LeBlanc. Of course, the big news here is that Sidney Jones and Rasul Douglas are no longer, for the time being anyway, Philadelphia Eagles.
Poor run out, Jimmy. Sad, sad day. On Sidney, I don't want to hear any of this BS that, like, oh, it was still a good pick. It was a good no, it was not a good pick. Said it at the time.
Does anyone say that?
Yeah, I've seen that. I mean, I can name names here if you want, but no free ads.
How could anyone possibly feel that way?
I don't know. But, like, I think I have seen that sentiment out there from you know, prominent media people that, like, you know, it was worth the risk. No, it wasn't
worth the risk. No, it was not worth the risk.
It was dumb. And that's not hindsight. Like, again, I want to give props here to, you know, our buddy Dave Mangles, who writes for BGN, had a great article in March of 2017, you know, like over a month before Sidney Jones was drafted, that, like, don't draft this guy. You know, the injury redshirt guy, like, almost never works out, or just, you know, it's not a good bet. And it wasn't with Sidney Jones. He played in 23 out of 54 possible games for the Eagles. He was not available. Even when he was available, as you've mentioned, he was not, like, reliable on the field in the sense of, like, you always talk about the Vikings game from last year where he came out and then, like, and Schwartz just couldn't rely on him. And Malcolm Jenkins called him out at points. He didn't deserve to make the team. That was the bottom line.
Yes.
Like, he just didn't, like, he did not earn a spot on the team. You can't just keep him around and be like, oh, potential. No, like, you have to earn your spot on the team. And he didn't. And shout out to Craig James, who did. And with Rasul, you know, I think it's kind of tough because when you look at your configuration here, Jimmy, you know, a lot of these, like, you could argue, I mean, Maddox, like, arguably should be a slot guy, like, his mold of a player. Nickel, Roby Coleman, is a slot guy. Strap is a slot guy. And Craig James isn't, like, a pure slot guy, but he's been in there, too. Like,
he's not a big guy, either.
So yeah, even he's 5'10".
He's mostly played on the outside when he's gotten into games with the Eagles. But,
So Slay is the tallest corner at 6 feet.
What did you say? Is he 5'10"? Is that right?
Yeah, that's what they list him at.
Okay.
That might be generous. He might be like a 5'9".
Yeah.
And a half.
Yeah. But he's a smaller guy for sure. So Slay isn't a big guy either. Slay's what, 6 foot?
6 foot even, yeah.
Yeah. And he's a skinny guy. So they don't really have any big corners.
Craig James is their heaviest listed corner at 195 pounds.
Okay.
So he's thick.
So Rasul, like, I've mentioned this already on the podcast, I believe, but, you know, he has positive traits. He has good ball skills. He's tough. He'll come up and hit. Like, he tackles well. Well, that's good. But we saw what it is last year. Like, he just can't stick with receivers down the field, and that is sort of the death knell of a corner in today's league. If you're giving up big plays left and right, then you just can't be in the game. I know that, like, a lot of people think that he should be a safety, or he should have been a safety all along, and, you know, I certainly understand that. But my concern with him being a safety, though, too, is you still need athleticism. So if you're, like, a deep middle guy, you still got to be able to, you know, go sideline to sideline. And I don't know if he can do that. And then also, at some point when you're a safety, you have to drop down into the slot, and you're going to have to cover receivers down there or cover running backs. I think he can handle tight ends. But if he has to cover anyone that's shifty in any way in the middle of the field, I don't think he can do that. So I don't know if that would necessarily really be an answer either. It'll be really interesting to see where he lands. I don't think it'll be so interesting to see where Sidney lands, because I think he's going to fail wherever he goes. I think that's a very mean thing to say. But I think Rasul can be successful in other schemes. Like, you look at, like, a guy like Richard Sherman, and I'm not comparing Rasul to Richard Sherman, of course, but they are at least similar kind of body types. And, you know, Richard Sherman isn't super athletically gifted. So maybe Rasul can be successful in like cover three kind of scheme, or, you know, scheme similar to what the 49ers run or what the Seahawks ran back in the day. So I'd be curious where he ends up. And, I'll like to sort of follow his career from here on out.
So do you think both of those guys will get claimed or picked up?
I think Rasul is going to be on somebody's 53-man roster on week one.
Hmm.
I think Sidney will too. just because some team will go, ah, we'll see what we can do with them. Because there's, you know, there's a lot of bad teams. So, like, some bad team that knows they're not going to contend this year, they may as well bring him in and take a look at him. Whereas Rasul, I think, is a candidate to go to a decent team. Like, yeah. I said, in with the right scheme fit. So, we'll see.
Maybe, Eagles, don't draft players who run a 4.6 40 and then play them at cornerback. Just an idea.
Like, City Jones, I could see landing in Carolina, for example. There are reports that they're looking for corners, and that's a super young team.
They have some former Eagles people in the front office there, analytics director.
They know they're not going anywhere. Like, they know it. So, he makes sense there. Rasul for, like, you know, Falcons, Seahawks, 49ers, some team like that, I think he would make sense.
I mean, that's obviously the big news. Then you talk about those guys. You talk about the 2017 draft class as a whole. I mean, it's only Derek Barnett and Nate Gary left. Yeah. And then obviously, if you want to include Corey Clement, you know, undrafted rookie free agent from that year. But geez, not Howie's best work, you could say.
Yeah, what was there's the other year where I guess it would have been the Danny Watkins, Jaquan Jarrett year.
2011.
There was a few undrafted guys that came out of that. Like, all the undrafted guys were better than the guys they actually picked.
I forget at this point. But one more last thing on the corner is that, like, you know, it's pretty disappointing that neither Sidney nor Rasul worked out. You know, like that class was considered to be pretty loaded with cornerback talent.
Yes.
And for you to get, like, nothing out of that, basically. I mean, I think Rasul was a fine as a backup, but still, I mean, you took him with a third round pick. You're looking for more than that. To get really just nothing in the end out of those guys, didn't even finish out their rookie contracts at least. Like, that's pretty bad. And it also kind of goes to why they had to overpay Darius Slay, not maybe overpay, but they had to make him the highest paid corner in the NFL. And then they had to trade for him too.
Like, yeah, Howie even said that. Howie said, you know, we're paying for the mistake of drafting two corners in 2017 who have not definitively become starters for our defense.
Mm-hmm. And that's where it manifests. Like, you can't just look at poor drafting and be like, oh, you know, that's how it manifests into you have to spend more money. And guess what? The Eagles are tight up against the cap. So I wonder why. Safety, 6 here, Jimmy. Seems like a lot.
Surprise. Big surprise here for me. I actually had Rudy on. But they kept Rudy Ford and Marcus Epps. So we'll just run through real quick. Jalen Mills, Rodney McLeod, Will Parks, who's probably going to go on IR tomorrow.
Well, especially if you're keeping
Sunday.
6. Yeah.
Wait, say again?
Especially if you're keeping 6. Like, that's definitely not a good sign for him.
Right. So Kayvon Wallace, and then like we said, the final two are Marcus Epps and Rudy Ford.
I mean, Rudy Ford making the team. Like, after what he did on special teams last year, I don't get it. He was terrible on special teams last year.
Yeah.
He had, like, some of the most penalties in the league. Like, I know you said said guys at that spot get penalized, but, like, okay. But, like, I remember even some, like, I can't remember the specific instance, but I remember there were specific instances where, like, I think he had a big penalty in that Dallas game they got down in early. Like, there were some, like, really, like, momentum-shifting penalties that he had or mistakes that he had.
It wasn't even, like, the penalty. Like, it wasn't even, like, you know, they lost yards because of the penalties or whatever. Like, he negated a pretty decent return in one game. His penalties were they really did sort of impact, some games. And Howie even said during the press conference, like, we need better production out of him as a special teamer. but they want to stick with him, I guess. So he gets another chance. We'll see.
And then I guess, like, I would put really, I think Epps might be your, in a way, like, I think he's going to see the playing or the field.
He's the third safety right now.
Yeah, he really is.
With Will Parks out, he's going to be the third safety. For sure.
Yeah, he's going to see playing time over Kayvon Wallace. Like, that's why they kept 6 here in part 2, is because they don't trust. And that's another position, like linebacker, that Schwartz said. Safety is, like, one that is hard for rookies to learn in a normal offseason, let alone one here. And especially if it comes to more so, you know, the free safety role, like that deep safety guy. Like, this is a clear sign to me that, like, Epps is that guy and Wallace is not going to be that guy.
Like, if they thought Rudy Ford would have been the third safety, then you don't keep Epps.
Yes.
But they're keeping Ford for special teams purposes, and then Epps is the third safety. And then they might just get rid of Epps when Parks comes back.
Yeah.
Because you can't have six safeties on your roster throughout the season. And I wouldn't think of it as 6 safeties right now, because, again, like we said, Will Parks is almost certainly going to go on IR on Sunday. So it's really more like 5, and then they're going to add another guy at a different position at some point.
Special teams.
Probably running back.
Is, Jake Elliott. Cameron Johnston, Rick Lovato, Brandon Brooks on PUP, he will miss at least the first six games and obviously maybe the entire season, although not officially ruled out, you know.
He can come back at any time off a pup.
Maybe they make like a deep playoff run and then he could come back. I mean, that's the realistic best case scenario to me. The Eagles confirmed Andre Dillard will be out by the season by putting him on IR before the cuts, so he's done. And then, you know, Perkins also on IR, done. The Eagles can start signing their practice squad again 1 p.m. on Sunday. Obviously, guys have to clear waivers for them to be available. And some of them did, Jimmy. The 12 guys that the Eagles cut on Thursday, so like Deontay Burnett, Adrian Killens, like Luke Jariga, you know, those kind of guys, you know, I think they will surely be looking to have on. I thought it was interesting how he admitted like they're going to have some more veterans on the practice squad. And obviously, you have those six spots now where you can have unlimited experience, unlimited accrued seasons in the NFL with those spots. So thought that was a little interesting. I guess, you know, in theory, you know, if Rasul Douglas doesn't get claimed, which, you know, you said you think he will. I would think he will. But if he doesn't, like, you could bring one of those guys back on the practice squad.
Yeah, who are you talking about again there? You cut out there for a second.
Oh, sorry, Rasul. I also think, like, a Trevor Williams could make sense for the practice squad, you know, because he's a guy with, like, game experience and obviously didn't have a ton of time with the Eagles, but he started in the NFL before, so you might want to keep him around.
The guys that I can't have make the practice squad, so, like, I tied with Bo Wolf for the...
This is a sham, by the way. I was not invited into this competition. There's only 9 people in total. Total sham. Self-proclaimed king of the beats doesn't want to open up the field. Okay.
Well, I tied with Bo for the most correct players on the 53 part. So now it goes to the practice squad. We have 13 of the same 16 practice squad guys. So for him... he has Winogo. I think that's a good chance for him. He's got Manasseh Bailey. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right. And Trevor Williams. I have Jannard Avery. So that's not looking great. Marcus Epps, also not looking great. And Sharif Miller, which, I think he's going to get mad and go somewhere else. We never mentioned Sharif Miller, by the way. Also one of the cuts. Also, a mistake by the front office using a fourth-round pick in the 2019 draft for him. Invisible in the last two camps, and then invisible, of course, during the regular season as well. So what do you think about him? Think he sticks in the practice squad or he goes somewhere else?
I mean, maybe, you know, Joe Douglas really likes him. Maybe the Jets, you know, pick him up, or Andrew Berry in Cleveland, you know, these former guys in theory. But yeah, I could see that. And the other thing with Miller, as I brought up before, is like, you know, how he said that year was loaded at defensive line. And
it was,
You got it. And you got a guy who didn't play a single defensive snap for you. And this is 2 years after you drafted Donald Pumphrey in a class that was loaded at running back, self-proclaimed by Howie Roseman. And he didn't play a snap in the NFL ever, at all. So, like, now, and Howie's, to Howie's credit, he did say this year he didn't want to claim the wide receiver class historical. And the receivers are looking good so far. So maybe he's learned his lesson. But, but yeah, not the best look for him on cut down day. You know, Jones and Douglas and Miller, these guys can cut, like, you know, not the best optics there.
Well, didn't he say I think he did say the wide receiver class had the potential to be historic, didn't he?
I thought he cautioned against that this year. Did I remember he? Okay. Him specifically kind of being like, I don't want to say that because he knows he did that in the past.
Right.
Do it again.
That's funny.
Any final thoughts, Jimmy?
Let's go Sharif Miller. Let's go Jannard Avery. Maybe he gets cut and he comes back to this practice squad. And let's go Marcus Epps. He's not getting cut. But yeah, I've come in second place in this stupid thing like already 3 times, and I'm pretty sure it's going to happen for a 4th time. So I'm like the Buffalo Bills of the 53-man Eagles beat writer competition.
There you go. The
1990s Buffalo Bills, that is, not the more recent Buffalo Bills. The ones that lost in the Super Bowl every year.
This has been BGN Radio, episode 145. We'll have more coverage to you. I don't know what it'll look like, but obviously, you know, practice squad being formed again on Sunday, September 6th. Whenever you're listening to this, so do something about that. I don't know how it'll be covered exactly, but stay tuned. You know, you'll find out if you subscribe to BGN Radio and, you know, rate, review, all those good things, help support the show. Obviously, help support the show too by supporting our sponsors. You know, Write to Song Craft Turkey. You can go there to writetosong.com. Use discount code BGN15 at checkout, 15% off. Also, again, just want to plug the SB Nation NFL show. I didn't even tell you to subscribe, but obviously go do that. Going to have links on Bleeding Green Nation for that. And also going to try to get Kiss to put a link in the show notes here. So you can just kind of click on it there. Going to be a lot of good stuff on that feed as well. General NFL coverage. I'll be talking about the Eagles on there too, I'm sure. So again, that's the SB Nation NFL show. Go subscribe to that. And until next time, Jimmy.
Goodbye, everybody.
BGN.